SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
Very good Wednesday, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201. Sports Zone 964, if you're listening to Sirius XM online, that's an option. And, I've got to use that more often. I don't know why I don't. I have a tendency when I'm listening on the phone to stuff, I listen to music. I don't know why I don't use it enough, the online, when I'm away from home. When I'm at the desk, I know Hammer at his desk, he listens to Sirius XM and uses the, you know, sitting in the office, and it's background music. Sometimes in Hammer's office, it's not background music. Sometimes it's like it's like a music festival in Hammer's office. But I don't know, for some reason, I don't know why I don't listen on the go more often to the app. I really should. There you go. There's my plug for the year for. for the online version of SiriusXM, and at our website too, stevebeck.com. And midweek, and kind of excited about the draw later today as the fields are taking shape, particularly for Cigar Mile Day in New York. And as we touched with Andy a little bit yesterday near the end of a fun visit, Andy was great. In fact, really, that whole run between, you know, John White wrapping up, you just listening, if you were catching the replay just now, and Andy and Pat Cummings, you know, that conversation about, you know, Pat discussing the Category 1 potential for adoption that, you know, might make for fewer disqualifications. And then Andy's thoughts, and I had referenced those in the conversation with Pat, and then John, you know, who's an accredited and an active steward. And so you got, you know, a little of each. And we'll get Tony Black, too, tomorrow, because Tony went through the accreditation program, and then, strangely, and probably in the long run, I doubt that it bothers Tony that the things worked out the way they did, but he ultimately did not take a job and get a position in a steward stand for an idiotic reason. But he went through the accreditation program. John Parada went through it as well. John thought about being a steward at one point. So we'll get Tony's perspective, because there's been great, really a positive use of Twitter. It's nice that we found one, you know, where there's a productive discussion and back and forth about, you know, Chuck Simon. You know, Chuck is as thoughtful as anybody on these topics. You know, Chuck says he doesn't sense that it's really the rules that, you, no matter what, and I was trying to make this point with Pat myself, no matter what, you're going to get stewarding from the individual perspective. Each person that is adjudicating, they're going to have a certain view of the parameters of performance against, you know, up against the restrictions and the stated rules. So no matter what you do, you're still coming down to individual perspective. And, you know, Chuck was making the point, well, maybe it's more the people, and I mean, of course, you know, that's a huge part of the equation. So we'll I'm quite happy to have these expanded discussions. One of the luxuries of the show that, you know, we got 15 hours a week and, you know, 750 hours a year that we can really, you know, not just have a superficial, you know, touch on it. We can come back to it and massage it around and you know, see, either help people understand or, you know, suggest what options there might be. So that, I thought yesterday was, I mean, we do get plenty of those kinds of days where, you know, half of the morning is dedicated in that direction. So this morning we've got Pete Fornatel. Pete back from his Thanksgiving holiday. We'll talk to Pete, see what he's tracking toward and what the tournament front calendar is telling us. I will mention, and of course, you know, once we get well past BCBC, the focus of the lead up to the NHC, and there is another, you know, one more in December and then one right away in January, those super qualifiers that, you know, can send a lot of people get there, either their first or their second seat. And the next one is 3 weeks from Saturday in New Orleans at Fairgrounds, the 22nd. So mark that down if you've got a way to get involved. And then just a couple of weeks later, you know, right within the first fortnight at Santa Anita, January 5th will be the third of those super qualifiers. And, of course, the first one came at Belmont and was a big hit. So take note if you're looking for that elusive seat in Vegas, Treasure Island, NHC, or you want your second. The super qualifier is a good option. So we'll talk to Pete and see what's up. He was out in San Diego, and I think I saw a picture where he had a number on his chest. It wasn't from a lineup, but it I think he was in a fun run or in a 5K or a 10K or I don't know, something. He was doing something. Something athletic, it looked like. And it was at the Hotel Del out at the Del Coronado, which, if you've never been, is, even if you don't stay there, it's worth a visit. It is spectacular. One of the biggest hotel complexes in the country and historic. And we'll have to ask Pete if he saw the ghost. There's a famous haunting that persists at the Hotel Del. Ah, you like that? Absolutely. The ghost that the turn of the century thing. Young woman was. Supposedly, she was, they still argue whether it was suicide or murder, but she haunts the Hotel Del in a good way, apparently. Very, very, not, you know, very playful and not scary. Although I imagine some of you that if you were actually confronted, it would be scary, period, no matter how friendly, whether Casper came and and said hello. Pretty funny. We'll talk to Tyler Picklesheimer as well this morning, and they're getting ready today to open at Turfway, and we'll get some of the preview. You know, Marty kind of touched on it Friday, but if you haven't looked at these first 3 days, they're terrific. They're big, full fields, and you know, there's a lot of people that love to play Turfway, and if you're interested, you're gonna have some fun. There's all full fields to look at here at the start of the meet, and they'll kick off the stakes calendar on Friday, as they do the Holiday inaugural, which has kicked things off, and that's a big full field. And it's an interesting assortment of horsemen. Yeah, you got a nice mix. And, you know, some of the big outfits, the Makers and Asmussen and others, and there'll be some crossover. I'm sure not everybody will, you know, will be there, you know, once everybody pulls their horses. Like you got that, you got a little bit of that, you know, just yesterday, right? We were talking and I asked, you know, what the plan was, for Wayne Catalano, and he was leaving a few, and then they'll all ultimately be down in warmer climes. So we'll talk to Tyler, and I have to make we got to make a got to make a note. I want to get to Tampa too. Tampa with, you know, a modest start. They'll start to get, the calendar will start to pick up some momentum now into December. But Tampa Bay Downs, another winter favorite of many. I was surprised yesterday, or was it yesterday or day before? I'm losing track. When Proctor, I mean, he's had horses in Tampa forever. So we'll have to start looking ahead at Tampa. And I think they're getting, I think, not this week, but next week, their stakes action, like the, no, actually, I take that back. Saturday, the Lightning City and the Turf Dash as well get the stakes calendar going at Oldsmar. I like saying Oldsmar. Look forward to getting down there, in fact, at the same time as a trip to Clearwater for the HBPA convention. Broadcast for the fourth year in a row, and going to moderate a panel. Hopefully won't cause a stir. And I got to check the calendar in March. That how in the proximity to the Tampa Bay Derby day. Haven't been to Tampa Bay Derby in a while. Had a lot of fun. Was there for Street Sense in any given Saturday, which was unbelievable. Is that the last time I was there? Holy cow! That seems like a million years ago. That can't be right. I got to check my. I guess I've been there just for regular racing, but not for a Tampa Bay Derby day again. I can't remember if I went for a Sam Davis. I've told you the great story about driving across, Tina and I, when we were staying in Boynton, and we cut across at the base of the lake, Okeechobee. Proctor actually gave me the directions of how to get to Tampa quick. And we came across incredible traffic on a Saturday morning for the Swamp Cabbage Festival. Yes, the Swamp Cabbage Festival. We should go. I should tell Tina we're going to go back to the Swamp Cabbage Festival. Take a break. Sid Fernando, of course. Sire Watch, Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill and Dale, Seth Merrow, and more. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
There are places where being who you are is a punishable offense. These places have many names, but the ones who flee have one. Refugee. And it is in the name of the refugee that Hyas has dedicated itself for the last 130 years. Created in the name of the Jewish people, 4.5 million rescued and resettled so far. When they said, "Give us your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free," we were the ones at the docks helping them breathe free. Only now it's a farmer from Darfur, a shop owner from Syria, a family from Ukraine, a child from Colombia, a Christian from Iran, a gay man from Uganda.
The 65 million souls who still wander the earth in search of sanctuary.
Why? Maybe it's because being Jewish means you don't have to be reminded never to forget. Hias, for the refugee.
Visit HIAS.org to understand the mission and support the work of Hias.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the summer on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, the roof is leaking and the rain's falling on my stop. The roof is leaking and the rain's falling on my head. I need a mop. I cry so hard, teardrops on my bed. Drippity drop, yeah. She packed up her bags and she moved out on a midnight train. Got no brain. See me to give me a tip, tip, tip. I said, now listen here, friend. I tell you, I'm hip, hip, hip. Why don't you mind your own business? Shut your lip, lip, lip. I know when my girl give me the slip, slip, slip. I said, the roof is leaking. Rain's falling on my head. Oh, yeah.
We're back at the races. Coming up on 20 into hour one. Pete Fornatale going to join us. The great Dion DiMucci, but not the Belmonts. That's with the Del Satins. And I did have to look up because I couldn't reference I couldn't reference the Swamp Cabbage Festival. It's in La Belle because I know there's plenty of you out there that heard this and are thinking, oh my God, I have to go. It's run the last full weekend in February every year. The last full weekend in February. La Belle, right at the base of Lake Okeechobee. And so it would be, this year it would be actually Washington's birthday weekend is the last full weekend, 23rd, 24th. Tina and I were astounded. We were like, the what? The Swamp Cabbage Festival, it's the royal palm, and that grows in the water, and they chop it out, and I guess they cook it and eat it, sort of like Phil Connors. I remember when Groundhog Day really meant something in this town. They take the take the hog out and eat him. this is a little more genteel. It's just some sort of it's you're eating the roots of a tree that's growing in the lake. But it was crazy. I mean, the town was you couldn't get through the town if you were going from the eastern half of eastern side of Florida to Tampa. Pete Fornatel, there we go. Now we got him, and we'll hang on to him. Pete Fornatel joins us. And, Pete, I was musing earlier ahead of your visit that I saw that you were out in Coronado and looked like you had a number on your chest and you were 5K or 10K. What were you doing?
I made my own 15K. It was officially a 5K, but I'd been training for a longer race. So I went down to the hotel fitness center in the morning and ran my own 5K on the treadmill. And then it was about a mile 0.6 from hotel to the other end of the island where the race was. So I that part was walking, but I walked there, then did the proper 5K and walked back. So I got a real nice workout in, and it was great. It was good to be out there stretching the legs. And there's that posse of runners who go out at the NHC every morning, and I think I'll actually be fit enough this year to be able to join them for those festivities. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, and were you staying out by Coronado, or where were you? Where were you?
We started off in the sort of the Kearney Mesa random Mission Valley area, which was near the bike ride / race at Society Brewing, the Bikes and Brews event that Susan was doing. That was our nominal reason for the trip. It was Susan, for her birthday, picked going out to San Diego and doing this bike ride. She did a 30-miler the weekend before. So we stayed there and, you know, going the Hilton Garden Inn route for most of the trip. But then, as a special treat, as part of the birthday trip, we moved in for a couple days to the Hotel Del Coronado, where I had never been. And boy,
nice.
Is that a slice of American history, that place. And they were very accommodating. I needed to do record a couple of shows last Wednesday, the DRF Sports Forum podcast and the regular DRF Players podcast, and they let me check in like 6 hours early to do the shows, which I really appreciated. And the Thanksgiving for us was just amazing. They had a ice skating rink set up on the beach, which was a hoot to sit there and watch the skaters. And then after Thanksgiving dinner, they had this like campfire set up on the beach. So we sat around the campfire and made s'mores, and Perrin was falling asleep at that point. But it was pretty unforgettable experience. And of course, sandwiched in with all this fun was a trip to Del Mar and an appearance at Frank Scatoni's seminar that he does on Sundays, which was great to sort of reunite with him, with whom I've done so much work and betting over the years. And I'm just a big fan of the Del Mar fall meet in general. It's so chilled out, and our friend and big contest player Phil Bongiovanni was kind enough to invite us into the paddock and had a photo taken with Tyler Bays, and Perrin's mind was blown by the whole experience. It was great. As always, when I go out to San Diego, it's one of those places I could definitely live under other circumstances, and somewhere that's always on the list to visit. And this trip was just no exception in terms of how enjoyable I find that part of the world.
Well, you haven't answered the question that I posed, in announcing or mentioning your visit and where you had been. Did you see the ghost? Was there a apparition that you can report at the hotel?
There were no spectral sightings. There were some random movements in the middle of the night that I just attributed to a five-year-old. Who knows? Maybe Perrin did get up in the middle of the night and was playing with the ghost. That is possible.
Well, it's one of the added charms of the Hotel Del, long running history of the ghost, and you can stay in the room. You can stay in the room that she stayed in, as it happens.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, if you're up to that kind of thing, it's.
Yeah, people have different tolerance levels about the supernatural. When There was a famous moment in podcast history where I first revealed to JK that the Brooklyn bunker and this house where I live, the bottom two floors of it, were once a funeral home. And I could just hear him him getting all upset on the other end of the line at the fact that many times without knowing about it, he had slept in the place that was once the basement of a funeral home. It did not sit well with him. Others would pay extra to do so. So it's
true.
Depends on your personality.
I love it. Well, we don't want people to pay extra for their way into their favorite contest, but in some cases, you gotta spend and reach deep and take a couple of extra swings. Let's catch up, Pete, on everything that's been going on. And I did mention how we're really in position where we're shifting our focus from post Breeders' Cup toward Vegas and NHC in February. There's also, of course, the Pegasus Betting Challenge. I mentioned the NHC front. We got the two super qualifiers, but you know, there's just all kinds of action that players are keeping track of right now into the face of the winter that is really kind of upon us.
Absolutely. Hawthorne was the hotbed last weekend. Very successful contest there. A big NHC qualifiers. This interests me. I want to confirm this, but John Walsh, contest director, told me that the top two finishers both were double qualified already and playing only for the entry into future Hawthorne contest and potential $1 million NHC bonus. And the names are very familiar to those in the contest world. Michael Mulvihill, who is a contest regular. He came out and supported us at the World Horse Players Tour event, and I got to run into him briefly in the bar at the hotel at Breeders' Cup. He dances a lot of the dances. And Dave Goodfreund, a name I haven't heard that much lately in the contest world, so that it sort of surprised me that he would have already been double qualified and played just for the bonus. But there you have it, according to John Walsh. Some other very familiar names up there on the leaderboard as well, including Gary McMaster, who will now be NHC qualified, Alexa Zepp, Bill Downs, Matthew Orzo-Wiale, I hope I didn't butcher your name, Matthew, Daniel Mastari Jr., and Eric Counts, all punching their tickets for the NHC at Hawthorne on Saturday. I haven't seen the Friday results, but there was also a Friday contest. Let me see if I can quickly, very quickly, find it here on the Hawthorne website. It looks like Gary Lyons, John Thomas are the two who will be going to the NHC from that one. So lots of activity, still time to join us out there, and then lots of other possibilities in the contest world as well. If the NHC is not your thing, there was there was action on DRF tournaments last weekend. A good story. You talk about spending money, Steve, for contests, and sometimes, and for some players, it's absolutely worth it to maybe spend a little bit more this time of year and try to make your goal happen. But sometimes, especially with the qualifying format, you can get your goal accomplished for very little. And that was the story for Tyler Hoffman, who started out in an $11 feeder on DRF tournaments and parlayed that into his $1,500 Horse Player World Series entry over the weekend. I thought that was a cool story that I'll definitely get mentioned in my work in the Daily Racing Form this week.
Excellent. And, you know, you mentioned the player formerly known as Maven. I thought that he had given up.
I thought he retired.
Horse race. He wasn't ever going to play horses again, ever.
Yeah. It's a clarion call that brings them back, Steve.
Well, just when he thought he was out, they got them back in.
I think he'd appreciate that.
Was there any report of what hockey jersey he was wearing?
I did not hear. I'm hoping he busted out the vintage Stan Mikita for this one. That's my favorite in his repertoire. Though he does have some vintage Arsenal kit that I enjoy seeing as well. But nothing beats the Mikita for me.
He does trot out the handsome Blackhawk sweater on a regular basis. Well, it'll be good. It'll be it's always one of the original characters from the contest world.
He's been an important character in my life and my time in contests, very supportive at times, introduced me to some of the most interesting people I interviewed for the winning contest player. Our more recent interactions haven't been as positive, but I'm hoping to get a chance to put things on the right foot with a guy who I think gets upset sometimes. There's plenty of things to make one a little crazy when it comes to our game, but I know he's a good dude at heart.
Well, there's certainly no shortage of fly off the handle types that are. You could put an all star. Actually, you know what? You got the NHC Hall of Fame. How about a Hall of Fame for Meshuggahs? It seems like that's an easy you'd have trouble winnowing down the list, actually.
As many arguments as there are over the Baseball Hall of Fame, I think you'd get that, or who should be in the NCAA playoff. You could get that level of passion, I think, putting that one together.
Well, what lies ahead? And I know that I wanted to make sure people were aware of the two super qualifiers for NHC December 22nd at Fairgrounds and January 5th at Santa Anita, the three of them, traverse the country, started at Belmont. So those should be on everybody's radar. What else for some of the ways to get to the biggest events?
Before I move forward, I do want to give a quick shout-out to Bruce Pratt, who ran first and second in a World Championship of Handicapping qualifier over the weekend, wins his seat to that event. Still no date for it, but we do know there'll be big money on the line and no takeout. As for this weekend, we've got another one-day Horse Player World Series qualifier happening on Saturday, December 1st, and another opportunity to win into the big December 15th Pegasus qualifier. For this one, $220, one in five players will win the 960 entry to the Saturday, December 15th Pegasus qualifier. That is that's a good opportunity as well. Obviously, the Pegasus, one of the big ones, and particularly great opportunity for players because the house puts up the money. There, you don't have to pay an entry fee for that one. You're just competing for money that's put up, and that will really go to negate the takeout and create a positive expectation. And it's something that I think horse players would do well. If you're on the fence about that one, it's one that I'd really push players to do, because I want racetracks to see how this model that, we certainly believe in at the World Horse Players Tour can really work going forward, of the house putting up the money, the ability to go there and churn your money and make show how they can win while we're winning. We create a wonderful situation. So definitely consider that Pegasus, and obviously you can put up the money and play, and I think that's a good opportunity. But all the better if you can win your way in. One of the best places to do that is DRF Tournaments, and you can check it out at tournaments.drf.com.
Couple other spots I can throw at you at horseplayers.com. They've got Pick and Praise on Friday and Saturday with a minimum of two NHC spots each. There is a free one of the they really had an abbreviated schedule this year for NHC free opportunities, but one of them happens to be on Saturday, and we'll reiterate this leading up to the weekend, but five seats on the free contest, the Pick and Pray format on Saturday. There's ways to get to the super qualifier at Fairgrounds this Saturday as well, and they'll actually, for every 15 entries, There'll be an NHC seat, but you'll also get your opportunity to win into the Super Qualifier on the 22nd. The claiming crown on Saturday as action returns to Hallandale, to Gulfstream. You've got the claiming crown, and they've got a contest as well. Nancy Berry can get a hold of Nancy if you got any questions. It'll be determined how many seats are going to be awarded. Lone Star, two seats with a last chance tournament on Saturday as well. Monmouth has got one as well on Saturday, a 250. Two seats will be awarded. So there's a lot going on. Next weekend, too, I'll be at Los Al. Los Al's got a minimum of two and as many as four seats that will be awarded a week from Saturday. That's Futurity Starlet Day. Mohegan Sun. Mohegan Sun with a contest. They got themselves in position to offer two seats. So that's out at the nice. They're down in Uncasville, Connecticut, and those of you that like to go to Mohegan on the 8th. So there's just a bunch. Capital OTB is involved as well coming up on Saturday the 8th. I'll talk to Seth Merrill later about it. All of the details available for you at NTRA.com. Click the National Handicapping Championship drop-down. The schedule's there and everything you need to know.
Very cool. A few things to underline. That ratio you mentioned of 1 in 15 for an online contest, that's a good deal for those on the NHC trail or a more favorable ratio than what appears in some online contests for that event, so something to check out. And if you paid the tour fee, you might as well do the free roll in that online contest. And if you're somebody who's thinking of signing up to play in qualifying events between now and the tournament, you might as well do it ahead of one of these free opportunities because you never know. It'll give you something to root for through the day. Obviously, great opportunity for folks who are chasing tour points and whatnot. And hopefully, we'll get to hang out with a lot of listeners when we get out there to Vegas in what's really. I don't want to wish the time away or anything. I like this time of year. Enjoy the holiday season, but we'll be here before we know it.
Well, no doubt, and I've been busy booking some of the trips and kind of blocking out spots and
I need to get going on that.
Yeah, I mean you got to kind of tie things up and look at on either end of those trips to see if there's some place you know, on the Derby Trail we want to hit. And technically, I guess it starts this week because I'll leave Sunday for Arizona and California. And we'll spend Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday broadcasting from the symposium, and then Thursday, Friday, Monday broadcasting from Santa Anita. And ahead of Saturday's Futurity and Starlet at Los Al. So there's
a peripatetic stretch for you, even by your own standards. That's a lot of miles.
Well, it's pretty much have got the underpinnings each now these last 4, 5, 6 years. I mean the there's this trip Arizona, California, then some Januaries there's a Florida swing, February Vegas, and there's things you can do on either end when you're there. That includes an option to New Orleans for the Risen Star Week that's right in proximity, so that's an option. Back to Florida in March for the HPPA convention, and not hard to tie either Tampa or Gulfstream to that. So it we've got a pretty regular routine these last I'd say 5 winters.
That's great. I had a question the other day, Steve, about your plans for Christmas music this year. Will the show that we did last year be rerunning at some point?
Oh, without fail, absolutely. It'll run either Christmas Eve or Christmas Day or both. Actually, we'll probably run it Christmas Eve and then it'll replay the next morning. So yeah, absolutely.
And is that available in the archive for those looking for a little jump on their holiday tunes?
No, but I don't think would have any problem loading it up. Case, that's not a problem, right? You could put the 'cause the other the 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 original music special is on the archive. Yeah, he's Casey says no problem. He will load it up.
Excellent.
You
bet.
So people can program their own Christmas parties with you and I.
With our mellifluous tones in the background,
yes,
between songs. We
exactly
kept it pretty
right.
short, though. You could absolutely do that, I think, without us being too annoying.
No. We were marginally annoying.
And then in a few years we'll run another one. That was so
absolutely
much fun. That was a great morning. Just getting to hang out and start thinking about it this time of year, and it's always enjoyable listening through to your guys' September broadcast, what you and Casey come up with for the play-in music. I was so honored to get Christmas in Jail last year at some point. I we're hoping for a repeat of that.
Well, and we'll start probably next Monday, if I had to guess. Casey's got a very established rules.
I think that's right. Yeah, Thanksgiving kickoff of Christmas is like, I don't love, I'll accept it, but I don't, it's in off the goalpost for me, but I don't love it. I like December. Let's breathe, let's Thanksgiving have its moment, and then let's turn the page when the calendar turns. I'm very down with that.
Well, and just looking at the calendar, we'll be gone our usual Christmas to New Year's spread, and it actually falls very conveniently. So our last broadcast of the year will be on Friday the 21st, and then we'll be back January, what would that be? What would be the, whatever the January after the date? Because the sheer New Year's is on a Tuesday, so we'll be back, I suppose we'll be back January 2nd, it looks like. Yeah.
A well-deserved holiday break.
Yeah, we Casey and I look forward to this. Happy to do it. Happy to bang out the 750 hours a year. But when for Thanksgiving, those 2 days even were even though we turned right around and worked like crazy. Casey needs time off to recover from his birthday Festivus. He had about a five day spin celebrating his birthday.
Very cool. I saw him on Facebook partying at a
yes.
vegan wedding. It looked like he was having a good time.
Oh well, that was not the highlight of the weekend. That I can guarantee you. Case at a vegan wedding. That's the skunk at the garden party. You get a vegan wedding. He put a picture up of the appetizer, which looked like two pieces of pita bread. Honestly, that's what it looked like. I have no idea what that. That was pretty funny. Well, Pete, I'm glad you had a nice holiday, and we've got the run to the end of the year. And this is always I won't say frivolous, but it is a relaxed, after an intense year. But there's still plenty of things to keep us busy and interested and playing. Carry over today at Aqueduct, and as we told you yesterday, off the turf. That was expected and came to pass. Casey is putting this Christmas music special up on the Best of page as we speak.
Awesome. Thank you, Casey. I might delve into that myself once it hits December.
Nice. Pete Fornatel, everybody. He looms boldly on Twitter, and of course, you read and the drop-down and all the things you need off the tournament tab at DRF.com and the DRF podcast multiple days a week. Pete, have a great week. I'll talk next week.
You too, my friend. Great speaking with you as always.
Pete Wormitzel. Let's take a break here. And when we come back, Tyler Picklesheimer from Turfway. And Tyler getting ready for tonight's action. They kick off their winter meet. Starts today at 6:10 is first post at beautiful Turfway Park. And I've said before, very proud to say that when I first started going to Turfway, it was still Latonia. I was living in Cincinnati. That was 85 is when it was rechristened Turfway Park. Tyler will join us next. We've also got the feelers out to get a Tampa Bay visit in too, as their season really starts to get serious this weekend. Back after this, we'll go to Florence, y'all. Back with Tyler after a break.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
There are places where being who you are is a punishable offense. These places have many names, but the ones who flee have one. Refugee. And it is in the name of the refugee that Hyas has dedicated itself for the last 130 years. Created in the name of the Jewish people, 4.5 million rescued and resettled so far. When they said, "Give us your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free," we were the ones at the docks helping them breathe free. Only now it's a farmer from Darfur, a shop owner from Syria, a family from Ukraine, a child from Colombia, a Christian from Iran, a gay man from Uganda.
The 65 million souls who still wander the earth in search of sanctuary.
Why? Maybe it's because being Jewish means you don't have to be reminded never to forget. Hyas, for the refugee.
Visit HIAS.org to understand the mission and support the work of Hyas.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the summer on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky, or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the 5 Kentucky Tracks for Horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Back at the races, going to be joined by Tyler Picklesheimer. And, of course, we've talked to Tyler about Turfway and about Kentucky Downs. And, you know, I it occurs to me, too, that he was a colonial, and I'm wondering, I'm absolutely going to ask him about if there's been some discussion about going back to colonial. Although, let's see, you know, it wouldn't, if it's going to be in September, it wouldn't interfere. Well, it depends when in September, I guess, because of the Kentucky Downs obligation. Anyway, Tyler Picklesheimer, has done yeoman's work on a number of fronts, and always enjoy the opportunity to talk to him. And then tonight they'll kick off at Turfway. 6 o'clock tonight, 6:10 is the start of the meet. Big full fields to get things going. The holiday inaugural on Friday. Tyler, good morning.
Morning. How you doing?
Excellent. And Thanksgiving out of the way, and you can focus on the meet. And you know, Marty,
well, folks, I'm being warm here. It's cold.
Oh, it's a mess. Yeah,
it's culture shock. I mean, it was 60 over the weekend, and 22 or 3 or something like that this morning when I got in the car. So,
well. Well, Casey told me the first thing this morning, he said it was 49 in Florida, so no help down there either.
No.
Well, you certainly have gotten help at the entry box, and if you're going to have this kind of participation throughout the season, it's going to be a good meet.
Yeah, absolutely. November has historically been a great month for us with entries, and you know, I expect that to carry through this year. And then January, things will tick off a little bit. Then, you know, throughout the winter, you know, ventures will slow down a little bit. But like I say, if you're looking for value, December at Turfway is a pretty good place to start looking.
Well, and, you know, just up and down this, it's kind of a interesting mix, too, because I see Ohio names, I see Indiana names, Kentucky, Pennsylvania. Yeah. You got a really nice mix. And, of course, with you guys maintaining the synthetic surface, you kind of pick up a certain class of horse that have been running regularly all summer and fall, you know, Woodbine and Presque Isle and Arlington. I mean, you've got a surface that people have horses for.
Right. And, they, you know, our track superintendent does an excellent job keeping the track together. And he's, you know, they I know they put a, you know, a lot of money back into it every year with wax and material. But I'm a big believer in the synthetic course for winter racing. I don't think you can beat it. I mean, there's countless days we would have canceled without it with the old surface. Just because the backside catches sun throughout the day and will thaw, and the grandstand side will, you know, catches a shadow all day, and the track's just uneven and safe. But, you know, all those problems went away when we put the synthetic in.
You mentioned the front side, and before we talk about the lineup and about some of the highlights and the way things will build to the Jeff Ruby. Is there any movement? We had heard during September, Tyler, that there might be a forthcoming announcement about whether it was going to be the remodel of Turfway, the building of the historical racing machinery. Where do things stand on that front?
You know, honestly, I've been sort of out of the loop with that for the last probably 90 days working Kentucky Downs, Churchill, and Keeneland. But I'm confident it's coming. I don't have a timeline. And I know we give a monthly update to the Racing Commission. So I know things are moving forward. But that, honestly, that's about all I really know there. You know, so I'm looking forward to it, just like, you know, everybody on the backside here is. So I'm confident it's coming. It's just, you know, like I said, I'm not exactly sure where we're at there.
All right. Well, as the meet progresses, and we'll watch for it. There seems, I mean, there people are encouraged. I know that nobody has said, you know, that this is not happening, and that, you know, it I understand part of it has to do with management and with the Jack Casino people and what their long-term plans might be for the market area. So
right, and I do believe they're on board and you know wanting to get it done as much as we do. But you know, a project that size, I'm sure it's a lot more cumbersome than you know meets the eye.
Well, a big cumbersome handicapping to be done because you got lots of 10, 12 horse fields. The Holiday inaugural on Friday gets the stakes calendar kicked off. Talk a little bit about the march toward the Jeff Ruby and you know the Derby points scenario has made it a little less valuable, but it's still 20 points to the winner.
Oh, absolutely, yeah, and you know we've moved the spiral back or up a week, I guess. So we're going to run the Jeff Ruby Stakes on March 9th this year. We've added another stake to the card, so there's going to be six stakes total on the day. So we had some good response from the horsemen last year, and hopefully we can build upon that. And we've you know last year we brought a couple stakes back, the Kentucky Cup Classic. And the Latonia Stakes, which is sort of a new one to add for that day. But, no, I'm looking forward, and hopefully the weather cooperates with us.
March 9th for the Ruby, and, of course, the highlight, the winter highlight for so many years, and it's had its share of naming history. Yeah. However, this name is so clever with Jeff Ruby, you know, putting the stakes on the plate and on the name. That I know some people were put off by it. I thought it was pretty cute.
No, I mean, you know, he has you know properties in Cincinnati. I mean, it's a great fit.
Well, and, you know, for people on the handicapping and horse playing front, it's a good fit as well. Any menu changes, anything to be aware of the way the cards are structured?
Not really. Actually, the only thing we added, the Animal Kingdom Stakes to the March 9th card, Jeff Ruby Day card, three-year-old sprinting. Years ago, that stake was called the Hansel. And then, you know, it's sort of bounced around, and we've changed it to the WBN Stakes for a few years and changed the name, I guess last year it was, the Animal Kingdom. And so we'll add that to the Ruby card and, you know, should help enhance that day for everyone.
Well, and the names and faces, I mean, the most familiar face that is one of the most enduring and remarkable stories in the sport, the presence of Perry Utz on a day-to-day basis. It is just, you know, we talk to Tony Black every Thursday, Tyler, and, you know, Tony is riding sparingly, you know, riding kind of here and there. But Perry Utz, I mean, it just shows no signs of stopping.
No. He's a machine. The Iron Man. No doubt. But, yeah, we've got Perry's going to be here. I think Rodney's going to spend at least December with us. Prescott, John McKee is going to be here, Alvin Jimenez, Abel Lascano, Tracy Hebert is making a comeback to Kentucky. So it should be an interesting colony to watch.
Excellent. I'm just looking down Victor LeBron and Malcolm Franklin taking calls. And then, you know, I know that Marty mentioned a Brazilian rider making an appearance that's breaking in.
Yeah. I think Jimmy McNerney's representing him, and I just honestly have not had a chance to see him ride or don't know much about him. So, interesting to see how his winter goes. Also,
we'll watch for him. Lewin Machado is this Brazilian import, and then when it comes to the training colony, all the names really, I mean, that you come to expect, certainly, you know, certainly Wesley Ward has been, you know, very much a stalwart for you, and Mike Maker, and then, you know, I mentioned some of the regional players from you know, the marketplace, Indiana and Ohio, and Jeff Greenhill and his horses, Bill Hembrecht, Billy Connolly, you've got Charlie Lepresti.
Young guy Jason Barkley's gone out on his own. He was one of Wesley's former assistants. Nice. He was an assistant for Nick Zito, so he had stalls at Keeneland this fall. So we're glad to see him here, and we get a lot of our regulars, and we've got some new faces here, also, but some guys from out near the, shipped down and set up for the winter. So, like I say, I'm looking forward to, getting a couple days of racing under a card, let the jocks get used to the cold weather and keep trudging ahead.
Well, people can look toward the feature 8:41 on Friday. Nice group. I take that back. Is it 8:41? What time?
Sixth race on Friday, which will run about 9:11.
Okay, and yeah. A nice group.
Actually, we've got the Clydesdales are here Friday, so there's a delay in our post time. So they're gonna do a little meet and greet for us on Friday night.
Well, and of course, one of the great date nights in the tri-state area at Turfway, and if you've never been, there's going to be what looks to be the makings of a terrific meet. You had a good meet last winter, Tyler. Best of luck to everybody, and we'll be keeping an eye.
All right, thank you.
Not at all, Tyler Picklesheimer. And well, before I let you go, with Colonial, have you been in contact with the Revolutionary Racing people? Is there a chance
I have not. I've talked to the HPFA a couple times. I saw them at a couple events, Breeders' Cup weekend. But I'm looking forward to them getting back on their feet and racing. It's an excellent facility. That turf course is outstanding. I couldn't kill it. I mean, I was running 10 a day on it for 35 days and couldn't hurt it. It's an outstanding property and I'm glad to see Virginia back up and on their feet.
Is there a chance that or does it coincide too closely with Kentucky Downs, the overlap?
I don't know. I'm not exactly sure what their schedule is, if they're going to do something 19 or 20 or what, but I'm glad to help them any way I can. Like I said, Virginia Racing was good to me. I had a lot of fun up there, and there's a lot of good people, a lot of good horsemen.
Absolutely, and an absolute positive for not just the region, but really everybody on the breeding side as well, and looking forward to that.
Actually, I spoke to Jerry Wood last night.
How about that?
Yeah. Jerry Monahan spoke to Jerry last night, too. A couple names out of the past.
Well,
it's
appropriate because that is just a yes. It's a little difficult to get to out there in New Kent, but it's a beautiful facility, and that turf course is too valuable to sit the way it has. And
I'm happy for them. I'm sure they're gonna. They've got some help with the purse money now, so I think they're going to be able to put on an excellent program.
Well, and we'll see if you participate and if the way things unfold and when they firm up their dates. Meanwhile, you got a big winter ahead, Tyler, and best of luck.
Thank you. Talk to you later.
Not at all. My pleasure. Tyler Picklesheimer, and Turfway Park kicks off tonight, 6 o'clock. We'll take a timeout here, top of the hour, and we come back. Sid Fernando, Sire Watch Pedigree Folk, is brought to you by Hill and Dale. And, we've mentioned the last couple of days about Bob McNair's passing. And I want to float that out to Sid, who, certainly, watched with interest. And I don't know if he had any direct tie, per se, to any of the work that John Adger and the team at Stoner Side, the work that went into building their program, but the 10 years that they had got to serve as a model for people, for those that want to get involved. It's got to be pretty inspiring, given what they did, how quickly they were successful. And yes, I mean, they had a big bankroll to get started, but haven't a lot of people come in with big bankrolls to get started and not had the kind of success that the McNairs did? Stoner sign? Sid Fernando next, Sire Watch, Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill & Dale after this.
The latest racing news. It's At The Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up with ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
There's more good news about Pennsylvania's breeding program. Last year, the number of state-bred live foals rose by nearly 30%. Many other states saw a drop of between 10 and 20%. This says that Pennsylvania truly has North America's fastest-growing and most lucrative breeding program. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.